invite you to take your copy of the Scriptures and find 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. Think tonight about how to walk in fellowship with God. The Lord's table is a table of fellowship. It is the fellowship of the redeemed sons and daughters of God who have confessed their faith in Jesus publicly through the waters of believers' baptism and are seeking to walk with Him in holiness and in purity. Time for us to examine our hearts and ask the Spirit of God to search us and see if there's any wicked way in us. Fact of the matter is, we all sin and we need to be forgiven again and again. We don't need to be justified but one time, but we do need to be forgiven as oft times as we sin. Perhaps you, as a new Christian, had the experience of having such a radical transformation of your life that you thought, I'll never sin again, and yet you found out in short order that you did and continue to sin. So how do we deal with that? And the Apostle John gives us clear instructions about this matter of walking in fellowship with God, keeping short accounts with God, keeping our sins confessed, and experiencing God's continual cleansing. With the Word of God in hand, would you follow, please, as I begin reading with chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Tonight, I want you to think with me about three steps that we can put into practice on a daily basis that will enable us to walk in close harmony and fellowship with our Lord. Step number one, I must acknowledge the conviction of my sins. When the Holy Spirit puts His convicting presence in my life against some sin in my life, I must acknowledge that. Christians do commit sin. We are not sinless, but as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, as we grow in our love for Jesus, we will sin less and less and less. But we will not be sinless altogether until we see Jesus at the end of the age. And so as believers, as we walk through this world as followers of Christ, we sin against the Lord. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins. And we need to acknowledge that, not deny it. In fact, if you'll look again in verse 8, you'll see there, John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, there's something innate in every one of us that is self-deceiving. I heard about a person who had an automobile accident. And when they were offering their explanation, they said this: the telephone pole was approaching. I was attempting to swerve out of its way when it struck my front end. Now there's a deceived driver. Or another driver who said to the insurance company, as I approached the intersection, a hedge sprang up, obscuring my vision. Or a third said, I was driving along when suddenly a cow went under my car without once signaling its intentions. I've since heard that the unfortunate creature was slow-witted. Well, sin is no accident and sin is no incident. Sin is treason against God. And God tells us how we are to deal with our sins as believers. We admit them. We don't deny them. Look in verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. The great British 19th century Baptist preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon once encountered a man who said he was without sin. So Mr. Spurgeon invited this man to his home for dinner. And during the meal, Pastor Spurgeon threw a glass of cold water on this man's face. His dinner guest was highly indignant, and he expressed himself rather forcefully and sinfully. To which Spurgeon said, "Ah, you see, the sin nature within you is not dead. It had simply fainted and could be revived with just a little glass of water." We want to shift the blame. Say, the devil made me do it. Or my friends made me do it. Or I'm only human. Or everybody does it. Or I was provoked. Nobody was hurt by what I do. After all, no one's perfect. Listen, God hates our sin. Why? Because God is holy. The prophet Habakkuk said, God is too holy to look upon sin. God hates our sin because sin destroys. Well, what does sin destroy? Sin destroys our fellowship with God. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Look in verse 5. God is light. This is the message we heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. God dwells in unapproachable light and majesty and glory. Our God is a holy God. He is characterized by absolute moral perfection. Look in verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Fellowship with God is absolutely essential for joy and peace in the life of the child of God. And our fellowship is broken when we sin against God and refuse to deal with it ruthlessly. Our relationship is eternally secure. But our fellowship is broken. We don't lose our salvation, but we do lose the joy of our salvation when we continue in sin. And so, when the Spirit of God convicts us of some sinful word or deed or attitude, then the only proper Christ-honoring response is to acknowledge the conviction of my sin. Call it what it is. Step number 2, I must practice the confession of my sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is one of the first verses that most young Christians memorize. If you haven't yet memorized this one, I encourage you to work on it this week. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, to confess our sins means to agree with God. We see sin the way God sees sin. And when we see sin the way God sees sin, then we have God's viewpoint on sin. And God's viewpoint on sin is that God hates sin. So to confess our sins means we come to hate our sin. Now, unfortunately, some want to do their sinning retail and their confessing wholesale. That makes sense? But God says we need to confess our sins specifically. Name them one by one. Call them out. Not, oh Lord, if I have sinned, forgive me of my sins. Nor, Lord, forgive me of my many sins, but Lord, I lost my temper. Forgive me. Dear Lord, I was guilty of the lustful look. Cleanse my heart. Lord, I bore false witness. I lied. Lord, I was prideful. If we confess our sins, the promise here, this is one of the greatest promises in all of the Word of God. God is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's how we maintain fellowship with God. And we do this continually. And that is, as soon as you're aware that you've sinned against God, you confess. Broken fellowship needs to be restored as quickly as possible. And so we must practice the confession of our sins. Now, I know a lot of this is old stuff to most of you, but let me just remind you, we confess as widely as the knowledge of our sin. If it's just God knows, we confess to God. If I've sinned against someone, I can ask their forgiveness as well as God's forgiveness. If it's a publicly known sin, I need to make some kind of public confession as well as ask the forgiveness of God. So when we're convicted, we confess. Now the third and final step here is I must accept the cleansing of my sins, which comes from the merciful hand of God who has promised to cleanse us from our sins. Look again in verse 9. He is faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us. This is a promise of God that we accept by faith. God is faithful. He keeps His promise. And He is just. He does not violate His holy character when He forgives us of our sins because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's what the Lord's Supper reminds us of. When we take the bread, it is a reminder of the body of Jesus nailed to the cross. When we take the cup, it is a reminder of the blood that Christ shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And on the cross, Jesus bore the holy and righteous wrath of God against sin. He took it all upon Himself that if we will repent and believe, we will be justified by His grace. It all centers in on the cross of Christ. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. Dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, and He's made it quite clear in verses 8 and verse 10 that we do sin, we have one who speaks of the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Before the bar of God's justice, the devil comes to accuse and says about us, he's guilty. He's a transgressor. He's not worthy to call himself a child of God. And our defense attorney comes before the bar of God's justice. His name is Jesus. Jesus is our advocate who speaks to God the Father in our defense. Jesus says, no, Father, this one is mine. He's been justified. His sins are under the blood of Christ. He's as righteous as I am righteous, because on the cross I bore the sin debt that he deserved to bear. The great reformer Martin Luther, in one of his periods of depression, seemed to see a hideous and malignant form inscribing on the walls of his room his own record of his own transgressions. The accusing hand of the adversary wrote down Luther's sins, his sinful thoughts, his sinful words, his evil deeds, his sins not only of commission but omission, his secret sins, his open sins. Luther said it seemed to be no end to them. Luther said, I bowed my head in prayer. He said, I looked up and the accuser was there facing me. Luther said, I said to him, one thing you have forgotten. His tormentor said, what is that? And Luther said, take your pen once more and write across it. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. My dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is our sin bearer. And when we come to the Lord's table, it is a reminder, a very graphic reminder to us of the awful price that Jesus paid to reconcile us to God. When we think of the awful price that Jesus paid to reconcile us to God, his own blood shed on the cross, that the one who knew no sin, the sinless Lamb of God, became sin for us. How could we do anything other than keep our sins confessed continually before God? Receiving the cleansing, forgiving grace of Jesus day by day, moment by moment. Let's take just a couple of minutes and just quietly wait before the Lord. Would you ask the Spirit of God to speak to you and show you if there is some secret sin in your heart that you need to take and put under the blood of Christ before we come to this season in which we take the Lord's Supper?